the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. This is Exploring the Word with Alex and Bert, and you are listening to the American Family Radio Network. And we are continuing, although it's getting somewhat near the end, we are in the book of Romans, the New Testament book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 12 today. And Bert, you know, every chapter we've said that this book is very quotable. And Romans 12 is no exception. And there's some verses. In fact, I believe a couple verses I learned as a brand new Christian as memory verses, maybe verse 2 there and verse 10. But we're going to be in Romans. We invite you, if you're at a place that you are able, get a copy of God's Word, turn to Paul's letter to the Christians at Rome, and we'll continue in chapter 12. Brother, did you have a good weekend?
Had a great weekend. We had some storms down here in northeast Mississippi, but we managed, and a lot of folks are, you know, they got their chainsaws out and had to get those trees out of the road, driveways and yards, but we've had a great weekend. Had a great Sunday at Ozark Baptist Church. Had a great crowd, baptisms, salvations, and it was just awesome to be a part, and thank God for what he's doing, Alex.
Well, amen, amen. You know, I had the privilege of preaching at Mount Pleasant Church just outside of Greensboro, and it was graduation Sunday, and we acknowledged the graduates, some from high school, some from college, and I got to preach a sermon on Proverbs about building your life on wisdom, the Lord being the foundation of that wisdom. So this is a great time of year, and a lot coming up. Of course, this week is the big week. It's been months in preparation, but the Activate Summit there in Tupelo, Mississippi, the American Family Association. And Bert, this is a biblical worldview seminar. I've got the privilege of speaking, Abe Hamilton, Frank Turek, Ed Vitagliano, a lot of great people. And folks are coming from really all over the country. Even if you're not going to be at the Activate Summit, please be in prayer as we speak. Because, Bert, here's the thing. I was on an interview this morning, and it does relate to Romans 12, really Romans 12 too. But the church, you know, when I was younger, we were told to, you know, be conformed to the image of Christ, try to turn away from worldliness. Do you remember that term? That say that somebody's gone worldly.
Yeah. You know? Yes.
Well, you know, building a biblical view of life and feeding our heart and mind and soul with Scripture. That is a key part of our outlook, our perspective, our priorities being rooted in Christ and not rooted in the world. And so yeah. I'm glad we're doing this conference this week.
I am too. You know what you said, belief and behavior run side by side. Real belief affects your behavior. And what we're going to do here in chapter 12, we have another therefore. If I've counted them right, this is the fourth therefore that Paul uses in Romans as he transitions from one to the other. But this is a big transition, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, because of what you have heard, I want to tell you what you need to do and be. So what you have in chapter 12 is the beginning of two or three chapters that deal with relationships and responsibilities. When you have a relationship with, quote, someone, that brings on responsibilities in that relationship. Mm-hmm. And chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 is our first and most important our relationship with God, Alex. So let me read this. You've already talked about verse 2, and it is a quotable and known verse. But let me read verses 1 and 2, and hear this as a relationship we have with God. Therefore, it brings on responsibilities. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Alex, our relationship with the Lord, and it brings on responsibilities, but here's the good thing. Because of the Holy Spirit's indwelling, that responsibility is not just in my willpower. It is in my, I would say, surrender to God's power and God's will in my life as it changes me. I don't want to be conformed, but I need transforming. And with the renewing of your mind, it starts. And then, and that's your belief, that's what you have, behavior will follow. Yes, yeah. I do believe that, Alex.
Yeah, and let me say, I've got a very dear friend, Rick Lawrence, and he was pastor at Nags Head Baptist Church for many years. He might be listening now down on the coast of North Carolina. Rick Lawrence, and I heard him say this 25 years ago, he said, salvation is the same for everybody, but sanctification is different for everybody. And I thought, I'm not sure I understand that, but I think he was right. Okay, we all get saved the same way. Admit our sins, believe in Jesus, turn to Christ, repent, believe, Lord, I'm turning my life over to you. Dear Jesus, please save me. But now Christian growth is different. An area that you have to work on might not be what the other guy has to work on, or an area where your faith needs to be strengthened and your obedience. And I want to pull out a couple of words out of verse 2 and think about your life, because Bert, psychologists say it takes 21 times to establish a habit. You know, and we are very much creatures of habit. And even in our brain, there are what are called neural pathways. And even if you, maybe you have an area of your life the Spirit of God has revealed to you that is a sin, or at least an area that you really need to trust the Lord with, it takes investment and work. Salvation is not by works. But I do think sanctification takes some intentionality, some work and commitment on our part. Now, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Okay, the word confirmed in the English is the word synchronized. Like you've heard, like getting your watch synchronized or something. In other words, two things that are in synchronous, they're in step with each other. Paul is saying here, do not be synchronized to the ways of the world. And I'm sure you've heard preachers preach on the word transformed. It's the Greek word metamorphosis, transformed. So you say, okay, I've got the habits of the world and that needs to change. What do I do? Bert, that phrase, the renewing of your mind. I'll say this, I'll throw it to you, Bert. I truly think you can't really break free from the clutches of this world, sin, the flesh, without Scripture. The renewing of your mind is dependent on the Word of God.
I would agree, Alex, and just talking about metamorphosis, that always begins within. You know, I'm old enough to remember LBJ, Lyndon Baines Johnson's The New Society, and it was transforming people's outward circumstances, moving them from the shacks in Appalachia to building houses, to the ghettos in the cities, to better locations. But because you move and change the outside doesn't mean anything changes. But when the inside is changed, it works its way out, just like the cocoon. Here it is, first a caterpillar, the cocoon, and then all of a sudden a butterfly. And all that works within, and that's us as well. I know you started in chapter 2. I want to go back to chapter 1. Alex, there's some words there that I think really are important. One is, by the mercies of God. In other words, what has happened, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God. That's what's transpired in the 11 chapters before this. He talks about the whole idea of justification, election, and sanctification. All of these are the mercies of God, of us not getting what we deserve. So I beseech you by the mercies of God, what I've laid out before, that you do what? Present your bodies a living sacrifice. The word present means a presentation that is complete. It's not just, okay, I'm going to do it today. No, this presentation in the tense and the word that it is in the Greek language means that it is ongoing. We're presenting continually our bodies as a living sacrifice. What a difference that makes. And then that is what our spiritual service, it says reasonable service, but it's our spiritual worship. This is what we do. I think this is important because it's talking about from Judaism into Christianity. Judaism, it was that thing of ceremony. He didn't say this is your ceremonial service. No, he said this is your spiritual worship. That is that it's by faith, by grace through faith. It is that connection we have with God, which brings us into this chapter 2 that enables us not to be conformed, but to be transformed. In other words, because of the mercies of God at work in our lives, and when we present this to God as a living sacrifice, this transformation is possible over the conformity that the world, and that word conform means to press you into its mold. The world wants to mold you and make it like this is what's going on in our many of our universities. I think I should say most of our universities, that they want to press you into the mold of this wokeness that has come out. But if you're a believer, don't do that. Don't let them press you into their mold. But by the renewing of your mind, and I agree with you, Alex, through the word of God in obedience. I go back to the old hymn, and I had a friend yesterday at church saying, Brother Bird, I believe you can just put it into two words, and it's an old song about sanctification and discipleship, trust and obey. And so, Alex, this renewing is what? Trusting the Word of God, reading it, and obeying it.
Amen. Well said, brother. Well said. And, you know, we've got to be intentional about this. I mean, if we're going to take the blessing of sonship, I think that comes with the responsibility of fellowship. What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? Verse 3, Paul says, For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The opening and the closing of this verse, Bert, I'd like to comment on, where Paul says, I say this through the grace given to me. In other words, he's acknowledging that he himself is a graceling. You know, he's a recipient of God's grace. He's not saying that, you know, out of his own righteousness, but out of Christ's righteousness. The way it's worded there, he's acknowledging that he too is only who he is by the grace and mercy of God. But let's talk, Bert, and I know we've got a break, the measure of faith. Bert, is it that faith and trust just comes a little more easily to some people than others, but all of us need to feed it and nurture it and work on it?
Listen, whatever it is, you've got to feed it. You got to nurture it. A measure of faith, he gives us, whoever you are, he gives you enough for you to come to him and follow him. We'll be back after this break. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word on the American Family Radio Network. This Sanctity of Life Month, we honor the over 66 million babies whose lives have been tragically ended through abortion since Roe. Sadly, with the abortion pill accounting for over 60% of all abortions, babies' lives are at even greater risk now. But in the midst of this darkness, there's a light that shines. And that's Preborn. Preborn's network of clinics have rescued over 300,000 babies from abortion and have prayed with over 80,000 women to come to Christ.
When I heard her heartbeat, I decided to keep her. And now my daughter's about to be 3. I don't know where my life would be without her.
An ultrasound doubles a baby's chance at life. This is Bert Harper.
asking you to join Preborn in protecting life. One ultrasound session costs $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Any gift will help. $100, $200, $1,000. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
Don't let anyone look down on you because of your youth, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. 1 Timothy 4:12.
Understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint.
Amen. Hey, Brent, did you know the verse was going to be read by a child when you picked that song? You did not know.
I did not know that.
You did not. Oh, God, you've done it again.
Amen. Brent, you know what I thought that was from?
What's that?
Oh, do you remember on Friday we had a Reverend Joseph Parker on to talk about the Ten Commandments challenge, and young people were giving speeches about the Lord and His Word, and I wondered if that was a recording from that.
Well, it's not, because it's not. Well, they could have, but I think it was a planned recording.
It's from Lincoln Brewster.
Okay. Well, we're talking about the first one, though. I know the second one was Lincoln Brewster, but the verse that the child read before.
Oh, that was Tegan on the one before.
Okay. That's JJ's daughter.
And
okay.
The one we just played was Lincoln Brewster.
Way to go. Well, Brent, even though you didn't plan it, you did good anyway. So thank you, man. Listen, Alex, have you ever gone to a church where there's no children, nothing going on? And, man, yesterday I was talking to a couple at the church where I was, and they're talking about, well, their little girl, they were introducing her to church. And I said, I just want to tell you, if it doesn't get out of hand, I love the noise of children in worship. Amen. I love it, because I've been there where there was none, and it's just that is a beautiful sound, and I thank God for that. Way to go, guys.
Amen.
Well, we're
Amen.
In chapter, chapter 12 of Romans, and Alex, I want you to finish up a little bit of verse 3, but I do want to make this transition. When you come to verse 3, all of a sudden you're looking at a relationship with others, and it's mainly other believers, because in verse 4 it says, "For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function." It's the members, it's the church, the body of Christ working together. Verses 1 and 2 is God working in us and through us. And now, because of His work in us, we should be working together, Alex. And this is a you talk about it all the time, because you're the English major guy, but I did enjoy literature. I wasn't that good in grammar, but literature just became kind of natural for me to understand some of the pictures they'd paint. This is a beautiful fellowship. Here he is, our relationship with God and the responsibilities, and now our relationship with others and our responsibilities to one another. Beautiful writing, Alex.
Well, it really is beautiful. And you mentioned about what it's our spiritual service, not law, not drudgery or duty, but it's by the Spirit. And what's beautiful is at the beginning of this chapter, okay, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that's a collective noun. Here's the thing, Jew and Gentile alike, we all come to God the same way. We are born again through faith in Jesus Christ. And Bert, you remember the Ezekiel 36:26, where God says, "I will take away your heart of stone,
Amen.
And I will put a new spirit within you, a heart of flesh." See, this speaks of the new covenant, that it's not failing to keep the law, and we look toward, we cry out, God, please send a Savior. No, God in his mercy has sent the Savior, and he fulfilled the law. We are made righteous before Almighty God through faith in Jesus Christ. And really to serve the Lord, mortify the flesh, repent of sin, and pursue Christian growth, that's a joy. That's a joy. And the beautiful thing, like in verse 4, and Bert, let me just say, I think that this also really kind of alludes to the many scriptures where Paul writes about spiritual gifts. But he says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one another. Now, you know what's beautiful? Romans 12 alludes to this, but also 1 Corinthians 12.
Yes. Ephesians.
You know, in a way, we all have the same spiritual gift.
Yes.
To know Christ, enjoy Christ, and be ambassadors for Christ. But then we all really have different spiritual gifts, as 1 Corinthians 12 and other passages delineate, you know, teaching and serving and encouraging and giving and leading and mercy showing and renewing your mind. I mean, part of the identifying your spiritual gifts, your strengths, the competencies and the strengths that the Spirit of God gives you at the moment of salvation, you only really begin to know those and employ those gifts and use those gifts as your mind is renewed. I got to ask you this question, and we're going to continue on in Romans 12. But Bert, aren't there probably Christians, and maybe they're born again, and they're saved for many, many years, but they never really do kick their spiritual gifts into gear, you know?
I would agree. And I'll just tell you, I forgot what it was. I saved when I was 12. And it was quite a few years before I ever heard anything about each believer having a spiritual gift or spiritual gifts, plural. But then when I was alerted to it, I went back into my childhood, and I remember some of the people, they may not have known everything, but they were doing it. They were serving. They were administrating. They were giving beyond, you know. And so I want to just tell you, it's better to be saved and do and use your spiritual gift than it is for you to know what it is but not fulfill it. So here it is, and there's seven that's listed here. And spiritual gifts is one of those things. Let me just tell you, if you hear this people, they'll explain it this way. Others will say it's this way. There's those that say there's motivational gift, there's ministry gifts, there's sign gifts. Well, I understand that, and I look at it, and I say, yeah, I see that, and I see so many of it. But I want to tell you, Alex, notice what it says in verse 3. You're just talking about that measure of faith has dealt to each one. Each one. If you've been saved by grace through faith, you have received the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes in, he brings with him into your life some gifts that are developed in your part. Now, we're not talking about talents. There's difference in talents and spiritual gifts. But the spiritual gift you have will determine many of the talents and abilities that you have and how you use them. And so here, for as many members in one body, even though there's members, and over in Corinthians, he talks about the hand, he talks about the eye, you know, and you can't say I have no need of either one. No, the whole body functioning together, and that's what it says, to have the, they do not have the same function. The hand and the eye, not the same thing. So we being many are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Alex, do not miss that one another. We're to strengthen one another. We're to help one another. And this is not competition. This is completion. This is helping one another to strengthen one another. And then in verse 6, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Now go back to verse 3 real quick, Alex. This is what Paul said, "For I say through the grace that was given to me." Paul had received these grace gifts, and now in verse 6, he brings it back up to them and saying, "Having then the gifts different according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them." And he starts listing all these different gifts, motivational, that God has given them. But it's for the completion of the body, Alex. This is what we're talking about. We have this relationship with one another, but we also have the responsibility of helping one another. And Paul weaves this together. You know, it says we're knit together in love. Listen, yes. If we're knit together in love, we should let our spiritual gifts be knit together in service and ministry, brother.
Amen. Well, have you ever heard that old saying, it's amazing what you can accomplish for God when you don't care who gets the credit?
Amen.
You know, I mean, we got to remember it's all for His glory, and we are one body, and we really, really need each other.
We do.
And I just think it's very beneficial when people preach on these, you know, this list of Romans 12:6 through 10, really, and it says, "Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another." There's just not a great illustration, but I remember when I was playing baseball, and there was a time or two when we needed somebody to bat cleanup, you know? And I think we all thought we could knock the run in, but the coach would pick the one that he was pretty sure could do it in, knock the runs in. And listen, just be happy. In baseball, we were just happy there was points getting put on the scoreboard. Well, in the church and in the body of Christ, let's just rejoice that souls are getting saved. And like you said, it's not a competition. It's all to give glory to God and see souls saved. And then verse 13 for a second, "Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." You know, maybe some of us or maybe we are a little too anxious or ambitious. I heard this, a pastor one time, he said, Mary had a little lamb. It could have been a sheep, but then it joined the Baptist church and died from lack of sleep. Did you ever hear that?
I did. I have not heard that in ages, but I do remember it now.
Yeah. So verse 11, "Not slothful in business." Now, the word business, I don't know that it really means, you know, retail or manufacturing, but it's what you're doing.
My translation says diligence, not lagging. In other words, whatever your hand finds to do, do it how heartily is under the Lord. Go ahead, Alex.
With all your heart. Yeah.
Yes.
So that which you've done, and I know there are times to rest and times to you know, take a break for stewardship, to go the distance. But I got to tell you, I travel a lot. I'm in a different church almost every weekend, and a lot of pastors have said to me, they said, "Please pray that we could get some men that would be willing to serve as deacons. Please pray that we could get some people to teach. Please pray that some people would sing. Please pray that people would serve on committees." And within the body of Christ, it doesn't matter if it's a congregation of 40 people or 400 or 4,000. Within the body of believers, there will be a distribution of spiritual gifts. I believe that. Don't you, Bert?
I agree with you fully. It gives those. And again, a lot of people teach these different ways, these prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation. I know my motivation is to encourage, exhort. Man, I want to encourage. Alex, you're an evangelist. Now, I'm just because you know, may not have, quote, the gift of evangelism, it doesn't mean you should not do evangelism. That's what Paul told Timothy, do the work of an evangelist. Even though you may not be that person, you still need to do it. But I did want to go back to verse 9. I know you went to verse 10, but listen, because I really do believe this is you've got to have this if you're going to complete it. Let love be without hypocrisy. Listen, be pure, pure in mind, not double-minded, be pure. But then notice the two things it says, and they kind of, here it is, put off and put on, because Paul was talk about that, especially in Corinthians. He said, put off the old man and put on the new man. Look at verse 9. He says it in a different way, but it's the same thing. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Now, here it is. If you are going to have these relationships and these responsibilities that God has given you, the spiritual gifts of showing mercy, leading, whatever it is, do it without hypocrisy. Be pure in it. Don't play act. Don't act like, well, I'm going to do this. No, do it. But doing that, you've got to abhor what is evil. That word abhor, Alex, means to see it as it is, mm-hmm, and turn from it. Listen, if we could only see evil in its complete form, I think we'd be more tending to turn away from it. As I've gotten older, pastoring as many years as I have, been observed what sin does to individuals, to what it does to families. Listen, abhor that which is evil. And yeah, then what? It says cling. This is what you do. You grab onto it. You cling and hold to what is good. This makes me think of Philippians 4:8. Think on these things, and he gives this whole list of that which is good. So, Alex, we're to think on it, we're to cling to it, and we're to practice it, brother.
You know, the old King James, this is one of those times when I really appreciate the way the King James renders something, because it says there in verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. And does it say in yours, without hypocrisy?
Without hypocrisy, yes.
And we understand, you know, to say one thing and do another, but the word dissimulation really means to act maliciously and in bad faith.
Wow.
We're going to come back. The number is 888-589-8840. If you want to call in, 888-589-8840. We're back after this.
AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net.
You know, in Romans 12, I do love that verse 10, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Well, we'll pick it up there tomorrow, but right now we're going to do calls and questions. And the number, toll-free, it's 888-589-8840. If you've got a Bible question or you want to ask something about Romans 12 or any Bible question, we'd love to hear from you. And again, the Facebook page, Brent Austin does such a good job. And if you ever want to follow us on Facebook, be our friend on Facebook. You can friend us. And then, of course, if you ever want to send us an email, you can do that at word@afr.net. And Bert, don't we love to hear from people everywhere?
We really do. I was just thinking, before Facebook, people say, how many friends do you have? Well, I have about 3 or 4. Now we say, man, I got 10,000.
Amen.
Changed everything. Hey, let's go to the phone lines. And again, we've got people calling in. That number, 888-589-8840. Let's go to Oklahoma and talk to Stephen. Stephen, thank you for calling Exploring the Word today.
Hi, thank you. Just calling back. I had a question. My wife and I were discussing the tribulation and salvation. Once the rapture has happened, I'm pre-trib. So once the rapture happens, believers are taken out. Now the people afterwards should be, or are able to be saved. But do they fall under grace or do they fall under the law of the Old Testament?
Okay. Listen, I just, you're always saved by grace through faith. That is a given. In the law, in the garden, Cain and Abel, why was Abel's, you know, acceptable? That, you know, it's by grace through faith. Alex, it's hard for me to believe they'd be saved under the law. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, no, I see, like Jude verse 3 says that the gospel is the faith once delivered to the saints. In other words, it doesn't change. I truly believe there will be a lot of people saved during the tribulation. I also think they're going to get martyred by the Antichrist. But for one thing, you know, for years and years, believers have put gospel messages at Masada, because a lot of Jewish people are going to flee or attempt to flee to Masada for safety. And there are, I remember many years ago, groups would go to Israel and put New Testaments and gospel materials out there and say, you know, if you're reading this, it might be during the tribulation period. But I think there's going to be a lot of witness about the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And one of the things, Bert, and this is a little bit speculation, I realize, but the Antichrist and the global Marxist one-world government, they're probably going to be propagandizing and saying, isn't it good? Those millions of narrow Christians are out of the way, and now we can usher in the utopia on earth that we've always dreamed of. And I think the vitriol and criticism against God and the church and believers, certainly the light bulb is going to come on in some people's minds and say, wait just a minute. And by the way, let me just say this. Notice people don't go around trying to intentionally blaspheme Allah or Vishnu or Shiva or Hinduism. When the world wants to wax eloquent on their hatred of God, it's always about Christians and the Lord Jesus, isn't it, Bert?
It really is, and we're seeing it today. There's a judge or someone that's going to be appointed to a judge, and there's some, you know, people saying he doesn't need to be a judge, although he's highly qualified, on the highest rating you get. Their argument is why he doesn't need to be a judge is he takes his Christian life too seriously, and that is going on, and it's still real today. Thank you, Stephen. Let's go to Steve in Mississippi. Steve, thank you for calling. Steve from Mississippi, are you there?
I'm from North Carolina.
Oh, man. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Steve from North Carolina. Will's in there laughing. He's just a Mississippian, and he misunderstood. Go ahead, Steve.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I was just going to make a comment. Have you noticed lately, I bet you the last month, about every day you hear about an earthquake somewhere? And I try to warn people that God's trying to warn people, you know, earthquakes in diverse places. And people just won't wake up and look and see. You know what I'm trying to say?
Steve, I want to just tell you, if you'll look in the book of Acts, and Alex, I've got a sermon. Preaching as long as I have, I've got a lot of sermons on a lot of different things going through, but the place was shaken again and again. You'll hear that. And again, I know there's natural earthquakes, but I know this. I don't think you're wrong, Steve. And I know it's natural phenomenon, but he's the creator. I think earthquakes and more common, and I know we have instruments that can pick them up more, but that would fall into having all these earthquakes more common and in diverse places, different places, Alex.
Yeah, that's going to be one of the signs, and a lot of signs. Violence around the world, the immorality. Frankly, I think the push for the LGBTQ trans agenda and the idea that we make our own reality. We're not, you know, gender is fluid and males can become females. I mean, we're a world that has cut itself loose from reality and truth. And apart from a massive Holy Spirit revival on a global scale, Bert, it looks like the train is off the tracks, for lack of a better phrase, doesn't it?
Ed Vitagliano and I were talking about it earlier today, and that's what we were talking about. And we say, listen, Romans chapter 1 speaks of this, that they'll believe a lie, and this is where they are. They're believing a lie. And so we as believers, and I think this is connected with Romans 12, renew your mind in the Word of God of what it says about creation and redemption. Those are the two themes that you find in the Bible, creation and redemption, and God has set both of them, and that's what we need to do. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Let's go to Texas. Brad, thank you for calling.
Hi, thank you guys for your program. I've been on here a couple times now, and I want to thank you for helping me to learn exactly who I am in Christ. There for a while, I was a little muddled about my identity, and now that I know, I am actually starting to see the gifts that He has bestowed upon me. And I was telling your pre-qualifier guy there that I started sending out a text Tuesday, every Tuesday morning. It's usually just a little piece of scripture, and then I say a few words on it, and then, you know, it goes. I send it out to about 70 people. Well, last week, a couple of the people that I send it to said, well, you know, I send that to 5 or 6 people myself. And the other one said, I do the same thing. And I was like, wow, so my 70 has just grown to hundreds.
Yeah.
So it's like, I wouldn't have been able to do that if you guys hadn't shown me how to see my identity in Christ.
Amen, Brad.
God be the glory.
I just want to tell you, we're living, and you hit it, Brad, out of the park. And I do this in my preaching, the radio, the identity in creation. And I know I talk about that a lot, Alex, our creation and redemption. But that's who it is. We need to know our identity in creation. Yes, God has made me male. God has made a other person female. That's the way it is. And our identity in Christ, when we get those nailed down and we live up to our identity, Brad, that's what happens. I couldn't help but think of the concentric circles concern. Him sending that Bible verse and a thought, and then the others sending it out, Alex. That's the way God operates, isn't it?
Yeah, and, you know, let me just say, in our identity and our strengths and our assignments, we have purpose. Every life has a purpose. And everybody listening, I know, Bert, one of the things that I was, I had a guest on this morning, I was on the Jeff Shreve Show, and they're talking about how people have loneliness and fear, and feel, a lot of people in their life feel very useless. But in Jesus, you have purpose.
Amen.
Every single believer has a reason that God has put you here. And a part of the adventure is finding out where your areas of strength are, and then using. And hey, Vance Havner, somebody said, Dr. Havner, please pray that God would use me. And he said, oh, God will use you. He'll use you up. He said, pray, Lord, make me usable.
Amen. Amen. I just wanted, Alex, what is it that Christianity has? It gives us purpose. It gives a future. You know, only in Christ do we have that. Our past, where we came from.
Origin, purpose, destiny.
There it is, origin, purpose, and destiny.
We know where we came from, we know why we're here, and we know where we're going.
Nail that down. Nail that down. Brad, thank you for that. And we want to go to Michael in Michigan, I believe it is. Michael in Michigan. Well, I thought we were going there. Let me try it again. Yeah, Michael, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
There's a brief mention of this a few moments ago, and it made me think of it. I have a 30-year-old son who is transgender and wants me to call him by his preferred name and pronouns, and just wanted to get your take on dealing with a situation like that with a child.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Michael, let me give you this, and Alex, you take it away. You need to get online and go to In His Image and watch that video. Matter of fact, there is the story of a girl, and she's that wanted her mother to call her by her preferred name, all of those preferred, and the mother said, I love you, but you are who God has made you. Now, did you say he's 10 years old, Michael? Did I understand that right?
30 years old.
Okay, good. You're breaking up, and I couldn't understand that. In His Image, you need to watch that for sure. Alex, go ahead.
And also, let me recommend this. And last week on the Hamilton Corner, I believe it was Thursday night, I had a guest on the Hamilton Corner, a colleague that I've known for almost 22 years, Ann Paulk Edwards, P-A-U-L-K, Ann Paulk. She's the founder of something called the Restored Hope Network, and very, very reputable. And on that website, Restored Hope Network, they're renowned. I mean, Dr. James Dobson endorses them, and so many great Christian leaders. And there are many, many articles. There are so many resources. And I think you'll find some encouragement, because sadly, a lot of parents are going through a similar situation. Be encouraged. I'm just going to say this. For one thing, be much in prayer. Also, let me just say this. Those that are caught up in sexual sin and same-sex attraction or gender confusion, look, God loves them. God has a plan for their life, and they can be delivered. But this is demonic. And Mark 9:26, Jesus said regarding demons, some things only come out through prayer and fasting. So consider a time of prayer and fasting about this. But I want to say this. As much as you can have a civil, dispassionate conversation, not getting angry, but say, look, son, I love you, but the name we gave you is the name God led us to give you, and it's not only in accord with your gender, but the way God led us to bring you into this world, and really to repudiate that, to call you a different name, not only a different name, but a different gender, that's essentially to nullify God's plan, and we can't do that. Now, I'm going to say this, and we'll have to continue, but I've counseled many a parent, and I realize this is maybe a level of courage and peace that only the Holy Spirit can give you. Help the child understand, say, look, son, daughter, do I love you? Of course. Would I do anything for you? Just about. But if the litmus test for me loving you is to deny Jesus, I can't do that. Because, son, you didn't hang on a cross and die for me. Jesus Christ did. And I love you, and I've proven that, and I'll prove it again. But if the line in the sand is that to love you, I've got to repudiate Almighty God, I'm sorry, I can't do that, and it's not really even fair for you to ask.
Alex, again, Laura Perry, her mother, yes. Francine, In His Image. I know we got other calls, but I know we need to pray, and that's what we're going to do right now for Michael and his son. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray for Michael. Give him wisdom, courage, and strength. Father, he needs that. Balance those out in his life as he talks with his son, as he talks with his family. And right now, in the power of Jesus Christ, wherever Michael's son is right now, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would bring a strange conviction upon him of going his way and not God's way. And I pray that you would work in his life. I pray you'd bring some people into his life that would not just say, you're okay, we're okay, but say, no, you need to know who you are in your creation and redemption. I pray for this and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Brett, we would have loved to have gotten to you. Brad, we'd love to have gotten to you today. But thank you, Michael, for calling in and sharing that. And we're going to be praying. And if I know our listeners, we got people all over America praying for you right now, yeah, asking God to help you. Alex, been a great day, brother.
Yes, and tomorrow morning, folks, I'll be on Real Truth for Today, the Jeff Shreve Show, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central. In the meantime, tell somebody about AFR, but tell everybody about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.